out in my pajamas. Now, most typically it's to walk the dog, right? It's early in the morning, the dog has to go out, and I'm not in a rush to get showered and dressed, so I just throw on my shoes and out we go. And if I'm going to be totally honest, I might even wear my pajamas to run to the gas station and get milk when we're out. More likely in the winter when I can put my coat over my pajamas. But I do it. And since you're laughing, some of you, I think maybe you've done the same thing. And depending how you feel on the pajama scale, because I know there's some people who feel very strongly that pajamas should not go out into the world, you might see me walking the dog or in the gas station in my pajamas and not think anything of it. But even if that were the case, what about if I came here today in my pajamas? That might be something a little bit different. We live in a world that watches us and that thinks it knows us by what it sees. There's just no getting around it. We're constantly being bombarded with images and then being told what to think about them. This is what beauty looks like. This is what success looks like. It's all around us. And Jeremiah, our prophet today, seems to get this fact. Because as soon as God calls him and tells him, "I've appointed you to be a prophet," what does Jeremiah say? "Ah, I don't know how to speak, and I'm only a boy." And if we read between the lines, I think what Jeremiah is saying is, the world knows and will see that I'm just a young man and that I can't do this. And I feel the same way about myself. But Jeremiah seems to have missed a very important point. He's forgetting that God doesn't see us the way the world sees us. He didn't hear those beginning words. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you," said God. In other words, regardless of what the world sees, regardless of what you see when you look at yourself, I know you. And I know that you can do this thing that I'm asking. Not because of who you are, but because of who I am and because I will be with you. God says, "Do not be afraid. I am here with you, and with me, you can do these things." Now, Jeremiah's call story reminded me of a couple of things. First, that God doesn't see the way the world sees. And secondly, that God chooses us to be part of God's plan in the world. And it's not just for prophets. It's not just for pastors or leaders of the church. God chooses us all. Remember, in the beginning, God created the world, and God put people in the world to be caretakers, even though God knew we weren't going to be perfect at it. And it didn't stop there, because all through the Hebrew Scriptures, we hear stories of God reaching out to the people of Israel, making promises to them, entering covenants, "Love me and obey my commandments, and I will be with you." And Jesus makes the new covenant with us. We've received forgiveness of all our sins, and the Holy Spirit, God's presence, with us all the time, so that we can do what God wants to see in the world. We can love God, and we can love our neighbor. Now, in the second part of our reading today, we hear about Jeremiah's temple journey. And I want you to imagine for a second that one of our young people was standing outside the church this morning when you got here. And that young person was yelling, because when the reading says God tells Jeremiah to proclaim, it means shouting. Don't say it in a nice, soft voice. Yell it at the people. So imagine for a minute, there's a young person standing outside the doors as you come to church and yelling, "Amend your ways. Don't think you can just show up here today on Sunday and everything's going to be okay." What would you think about that? little annoying. They were covenant people, and their understanding was that God was in the temple, and God was going to stay there and be present with them. Now, and they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, just like you would think you were doing on Sunday. The people are saying, here we are at the temple, this is what we're supposed to do, and we know that God is there. So we don't have to worry about anything else. But Jeremiah's got some more things to say to them. He wants to remind them, and God is giving him the words to remind them, that there's more to this relationship than just showing up here, going through the motions of temple worship. The world may see you and think you're doing the right thing, Jeremiah is saying, but God sees something different. The people are totally being called out for using God like a security blanket. They're living their daily lives. They're not worrying about the widow, the orphan, the alien. They're not dealing with each other justly. They're following other gods. And we hear what God says to them. Don't go after other gods to your own hurt. All of these things that the people are doing, not seeing their neighbors, following other gods, are actually hurting them. And that's not what God wants. He's calling the people to turn back and to move away so that they won't be harmed. Now, I read something on the internet this week, and someone had said, please, Christians, don't keep saying to me, don't worry, God is in control, when we're talking about the problems of the world. And it reminded me of this reading for today. These are what the words of Jeremiah were saying as well. Don't think you can just say, this is the temple of the Lord, and everything's going to be fine. But you know what? I understand why the people would say that. I've said it myself recently. When the problems of the world are too big and I'm feeling overwhelmed, I say, it's okay, because God is in control. That's where I have to go. And you know what? It's a good thing that I can go there. Because God is in control. Whether we say it or we don't say it, God is in control and God's got this. But God spoke to those people through the prophet because he wanted us to remember that just saying that, just recognizing that, just holding on to that is not enough. We can't just say God is in control and then close our eyes to the world, close our eyes to the alien, the orphan, the widow, and not pay attention to what's happening around us. Jesus has called us to love God and love our neighbor. Now in our gospel today, which didn't seem to give us any more good news, we heard Jesus turning over the tables in the temple, and he uses the same words that Jeremiah uses. He looks around in the temple, and he sees that the money changers and the sellers of sacrifices are distracting the people. They've become the center, and the people are not seeing those around them that are in need, and they're not loving their neighbors. And our reading today ends with these words. You know, I too am watching, says the Lord. They were not meant to be a comfort for the people of Israel and not for us today. They're meant to get our attention, to make us stop and look, to look at God and to look at ourselves. God is indeed watching us. But the thing is, when God sees us, God sees us and the world with eyes of love and hope. God doesn't see the way the world does. So we should remember these words to the prophet and to us. I know you, I see you, and I see you in a way that's different than the world does. And I'm with you. It's not about what the world thinks you can do. It's about what I know I can do. is I'm working through you. Jesus tells us, love God and love your neighbor. To love our neighbor, we have to see them the way that God sees us, with eyes of love and hope. We have to turn off the voices that point to our differences and resist seeing the way the world does. We have to believe that with God, all things are possible, and we can do so much more than we could without God on our own. My prayer today is that our actions will be driven by eyes that see as God sees, with love and with hope. Because when we see this way, and when we go into the world following Jesus' commandment to love God and love our neighbor, the world changes. And when we hear those words, I too am watching, says the Lord, we don't have to be afraid. Instead, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.